Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, there's no eggs and there's no bakey this morning, but it is DPietro and Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN, January the 21st, 2022. It is frigid outside, 11 degrees outside my home at this very moment, and that feels balmy and wonderful in comparison to what the Knicks are right now. Before we get into any of it, Football Friday. Go through all the games, probably pick another winner to go up against the K-Show. We do a frenzy at 7:15. Before we do any of it, I know who you want to hear from, people out there, Radio Land, Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Just promise me one thing today on this feel-good football Friday.
Feel-good football Friday.
Do not let what happened last night bring us down today. Don't let it happen.
Fooey! I don't intend to, but I do have a declaration I'm going to make to you in a little bit.
I like that.
Yeah, a declaration. Well, it's not positive.
I wouldn't imagine.
It's not uplifting.
What's there to be positive about?
Nothing.
No, nothing.
Nothing. So just to show you how bad my night was last night, I had to watch sixth grade basketball.
Nice.
Which was a 24-14 slugfest.
Wow.
Slugfest. Of which, sixth grade, mind you, a player on our own team took a shot at our own basket.
Oof.
Yes.
You're not coaching this team, I hope.
No.
Okay.
Please.
Good.
If I coach this team, we're not scoring 14.
What would you do if you're coaching the team and the kid on your team shoots at his own basket?
Bench him forever. really. If you're taking a shot at your own basket and you're 11, something has gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Do you care to call this kid out, or
he's a nice kid. I think it was just a moment.
Maybe it motivates him.
Alex picked up a flagrant.
What?
Yeah, flagrant foul.
Did he find out the other the guy on the other team was a Cowboys fan? What happened?
I told him that was Dak Prescott, and he went no. It wasn't terrible actually. We were down six with under a minute to go, and he tried to foul the kid. As the coaches were requesting, foul the kid. He tried, and the official he didn't call it. So then Alex ran up to him.
You know what? I swear to God, I'm going to go right through this computer and smack you in the nose.
Ran up to him and a two-handed push right in the back of the next kid.
I didn't think they called flagrants on 11-year-olds.
And they called a flagrant. He goes with the arms in the X position and flagrant foul, and Alex got all upset. It wasn't a flagrant, and it's not right. If you're going to call a flagrant, you got to call the foul originally. So I got that. And then we drive home. He's all upset. He's like, it shouldn't have been a flagrant. Like, I'm like, Alex, I don't care. I really don't care. It's fine. And then I get home, and I have to watch that. I mean, Rick, I don't know what there is to say. I don't know how you could be a fan of the Knicks this morning and have anything positive to say about this team right now.
Well, do you want positive or you want negative? You want positive or you want the truth?
No, I want the truth. I'd love positive, but I'd like the truth.
Well, Mitchell Robinson was good.
He was.
There's some positive.
That's true.
RJ Barrett wasn't bad.
So
that's a positive.
positive is if a guy's not bad?
Well, no, R.J. Barrett was pretty good. I mean, he was good. Mitchell Robinson was good. And then outside of that, I mean, you had Julius Randle, Kemba Walker, and Evan Fournier go 4-for-21 for 15 points.
The three of them combined.
Combined. Last time I checked, I don't think you're going to win too many games like that. Last time I checked.
What is with Julius Randle, by the way?
Julius Randle is
we have a problem on our hands.
He is wasting so much energy trying to fight a fight that he's not going to win. You can't accept all of the praise and the accolades when things are going great and not expect the criticism when things are going bad. That's what you signed up for. That's who you are now for this team. You are, and he's not a superstar, but last year he was all NBA, he was an all-star. You are this team's best player.
Supposed to be, yes.
When your team doesn't meet expectations and your best player doesn't meet expectations, he's going to hear it. Especially if he's a guy that you didn't draft. Especially if he's a guy you didn't draft. And I think this team right now, and this is all teams, a team's identity is a reflection of the team's leadership. So, I mean, I'm on Twitter last night, all this Knicks team does is complain about fouls. That's all they do. Well, look at the sideline. Who complains about fouls the entire game? Oh, yeah, that's your head coach. The entire game complains. So, I mean, players see that. Coach is doing it. I'm going to do that. Meanwhile, Knicks in the first half had 19 free throw attempts, and the Pelicans had 5. So, I mean, what are you complaining about? And then, I mean, with the whole Julius Randle situation, he hasn't spoken to the media in 8 of the last 9 games.
Correct.
And you can just tell by his body language that he's, I don't know if it's a lack of confidence. I don't know what's going on in his head. It's almost like he's decided that he's going to play poorly to spite the fans. Like, you don't deserve my best effort.
Oh.
Which is a ridiculous mindset to have, because I mean, that team's down 25 points. You bring in the bench. So you're getting booed out of, you're essentially getting booed out of your building because you're that bad.
And rightfully so. I mean, that game was 81-57 at one point.
Dave, the Knicks scored 42 points in the first half. 42 points.
And having 19 free throws.
And 19 free throws.
Right.
But you saw how quickly it can turn, though. They're getting booed out of their own building to all of a sudden the bench comes in and actually shows some effort, plays some defense, and starts to chisel into that lead, and the crowd starts getting into it, and they start going nuts. That's all they're asking for. Just give us the effort. I don't want to hear your head coach after the game talk about, we can't allow missed shots to affect our defense, and we can't have guys jogging back in transition. The Knicks are one of the worst transition teams defensively in the whole NBA.
We have real problems here.
I mean, huge problems here.
How do you fall behind? Listen, if you played a great team and you fell behind, you had a bad night, fine. You've now lost 3 in a row at home, and we discussed this yesterday. Have you seen the upcoming schedule?
Yes.
Do you know what's on the horizon?
Well, here's my question.
I got Cleveland. Milwaukee. I got Miami.
Forget that for a second, though. It doesn't matter who you're playing at this point. Obviously, they've just shown us that in the last 3 games. It doesn't matter who they're playing.
Yeah, they'll lose to anybody.
Yeah, exactly
right. At home. And they'll lose to anybody, and they'll lose to anybody anywhere.
I mean, as bad as you played, you got off to another bad start, which, again, makes no sense to me with where this team is at. There's no excuse at home to get off to a bad start. You get off to a bad start, kind of right the ship a little, only score 42 points, and guess what? You're only down 4 points at the half. That's it. You're still in it. You still got a chance to win this game. Only down 4 points. And then you come out in the third. And you get outscored 35-15.
That's their thing, right? We've seen it all. We've been discussing their lack of intensity coming out of the game and coming out of the second half, into the second half, all year long. Right? Doesn't it feel like that's been the staple of what this team is?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, inconsistency is the staple of this team right now. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get. That may be the most consistent thing of this team.
Is it they're inconsistent?
You're probably going to get a bad third quarter. Like, they're probably not going to come out of the locker room second half.
That's got to be coaching.
I don't know if that's coaching, man.
Come on. We can't sit here and not give some blame to Tom Thibodeau.
No, you can give him some blame. Like, I'll give him some blame right now. I hate how they use Obi Toppin. I hate how they use Obi Toppin. He is a non-factor in the half-court offense. Non-factor. If they don't have, if they don't make stops and get out and run and get out in transition, he is a non-factor. He camps out in the corner. He doesn't shoot well from three. Why is he stuck in the corner?
I don't know. I mean, let him use his athleticism a little bit.
But forget the athleticism. Last time I checked, the reason why you drafted him where you drafted him was because he was more developed than the younger kids, especially offensively.
Right, because he actually went to college for a couple of years.
Yeah, they don't use him in the post. I mean, they don't run pick and roll for him. Like, do so. And again, maybe that's because they don't have a point guard that they trust. Well, they don't have a point guard, period. And if Derrick Rose doesn't come back soon, this thing is just going to be, it's going to be over. It's going to be a wrap. Because I don't know if there's any moves you can make.
Unless you make a move for a star point guard, what's going to change? How is this going to change?
With this kind of effort? With your best player acting the way that he's acting?
I mean,
your best player, the guy who was all NBA, was an all-star, most improved player, took two shots in the third quarter. In the midst of you getting blown out of your own building, the guy that's supposed to be the leader of your team, the guy that says, you know what, forget all this, I'm not going to let this happen, takes two shots in the third quarter. Two! That's unacceptable.
Well, how about his just immaturity at the end of the first half, too?
It feels like it's on the verge of just completely
crumbling.
Completely blowing itself up.
Yeah, it really does. I'm so despondent. I'm so annoyed. It's not fun. They're unwatchable.
They don't make it fun.
The energy, the effort. I mean, at home, you lose it to New Orleans at home. I mean, you're getting hammered by New Orleans at home.
And listen, I get it, right? Like, I get it if I'm Julius Randle, right? I mean, you left money on the table because you wanted to be a Knick. Last year, you're all NBA, your second team all NBA. You're an all-star, most improved player. You're the four seed. And then we started to see, I don't know, playoffs against Atlanta. They shut him down. I mean, is he the same guy? Signs the deal, leaves money on the table. Now, hasn't gotten off to a great start. And I get it. It can be frustrating that the crowd is, you know, that the fans can turn on you that quickly. And they're chanting for Obi Toppin or, you know, RJ Barrett for MVP. Like, all those things. Like, I get it. That's frustrating. But again, that's what happens when you're the best player and your team doesn't play up to expectations. You're the one that's going to get the brunt of it. You'll get the praise when things go well, and you're going to get the brunt of it when it goes bad.
When you're the guy. I mean, listen, I'm not comparing him to these guys, but go around the NFL. If the Packers don't win this weekend, who do you think is going to get the blame?
It's on Aaron Rodgers.
If the Chiefs don't win, for the most part, who's going to get the blame?
It's going to be on Pat Mahomes.
If the Bills don't win, who gets the blame?
It's going to be Josh Allen.
I mean, that's what happens. The best player on the team gets the bulk of the blame. And he knew this. I mean, this is New York, for God's sakes. And this is the way you act. It's just it's an immature way that he has. And he's not a young guy. He's not 22 years old. He's been in L.A. He's been with the Knicks. He's had rough moments in his NBA career.
Yeah, but he's never been this, though. But he's never been the best player on his respective team. Like, it's a lot for some guys to handle. Having to be, you know, the guy every night on the court, and then, you know, the one that answers the questions after the game.
Or doesn't answer the questions after.
Well, he's
after.
Not. I mean, they're protecting him now because he hasn't spoke to the media eight of the last nine games.
Eight of the last nine games is right. All right, let's take a listen to the head coach, Tom Thibodeau. Was Julius Randle upset with the officiating last night?
It's really our entire team. And, you know, when things aren't going our way, you know, Julius is going to take a lot of blame. He gets a lot of the credit, but that goes with the turf. But it's a team game, and we didn't get into it with any one individual. And as I said, we have to get it out of it as a team. And so I don't think it was any one particular play or one incident. You know, things just weren't going our way. And we got to understand that's part of it. Sometimes things go your way, sometimes they don't. And when they're not going our way, I just want us to be mentally tough and be able to work through it. It's a long game. It's a long season. You got to come in day after day and stick with your routine. Stick with your routine.
They're a bunch of babies, is what
they're mentally soft, is what they are.
A bunch of
babies.
And that
right now is a reflection of Julius Randle. That's the reality of sports, man. It's the reality of sports. Is teams will feed off the energy of your best player. That's how it is. And when your best player is acting the way he's acting.
We thought this guy was a build-around guy.
Well, yeah. And listen, he made the mistake of thinking that all of a sudden he was going to have all this built-up equity because of the season he had last year.
And he did.
Well, yeah, he did. But listen, I see both sides of it. Like the you know former athlete in me sees.
But he's got to grow up, Rick.
Well, no, absolutely. But this is what I would tell him if I sat down with him. You're just wasting energy, man. It's hard enough. It's hard enough to show up every day and do all the things necessary to go out and have success. It's hard enough, especially as the guy. Don't waste your energy on all the other stuff. It's a waste of time. Yelling at the referee, it's a waste of time. All you're doing is burning through energy. It's not beneficial to you. It's not beneficial to your team. Focus on the job at hand. What's most important right now, that's your game. Work on your shooting. Like all the things that you did well last year that you're not doing well this year. Go to work. Spend all that energy on that. Because if the result, if you do that and you start to resemble the play more of the player we saw last year than the one this year, the crowd's going to come back. They always come back. You're not going to change that. Anything you any not talking to the media, acting up
that's
on the court,
just going to dig the hole deeper. Is what
thumbs down, yelling at the officials. None of that is to your benefit. None of it.
And you know what you're going to do? You're going to turn the entire fan base against you. Because right now, that's what it is. There's no way there's anyone listening right now who feels sympathetic towards Julius Randle. Now, you're right. If he goes out there and plays well on Sunday and Monday, it'll change like that. But there's no way that anybody right now hears the name Julius Randle and has a good thought. You're
no, frustrated. Here's what he's got to understand. He's not hurting us. Yeah, I mean, the fans will boom and you'll be upset that they lost. But him you know, not playing his best or not giving max effort despite the fans. You're not affecting us. All he's doing is hurting himself. All he's doing is hurting his team.
That's right.
Like, he was hesitant to shoot in the third. How do you take, you're the best player, you take two shots in the third quarter. How is that possible? Two. You didn't score any points.
Yeah, we got problems. We have real, real problems.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I was hoping for some meatloaf.
Right? I thought that Santiago... Well, here's the thing. Santiago, he hasn't slept in nights.
Oh, he thought meatloaf was in his early 60s.
But we discussed it. And you would think that he would take notice of that and be like, I'm going to a lot of meatloaf today. Instead, he played, what was that, Sade? I mean, what was that?
Why? Raymond Santiago is the Julius Randle right now of this show. And you know he's on the verge.
He's on edge?
He's on edge. He's on the verge. He's witnessing crimes. Like, he's he's very close.
You know what? This just popped into my head. Do you think, and I'm not saying it did, I'm just throwing it out there for you to chew on here. Do you think there's any chance that RJ was the mastermind of the crime that Raymond witnessed?
No.
You don't?
No. If it was a box of Cheerios that got stolen, I would say that's 100% RJ. Milk? No. I mean, RJ doesn't even put milk in his cereal.
You don't put milk in your cereal?
No, I do. I just, when I was here, but I was on a big cereal kick to the point where I worked with Rick the first time around. He bought me a cereal bowl that I still use.
Well, who doesn't love cereal?
I agree. Oh. So when I was here, there were times we ran out of milk. So instead of doing the responsible thing of going to buy more milk, I would just eat cereal out of the box.
Really?
Well, I banked on milk being here. I wasn't going to leave the building. That seems like a lot.
Which is weird because that's really the only thing that we actually had at the in the refrigerator at the station.
There was always milk in the fridge.
Was oodles of milk.
Yes. Like cow loads of milk.
like right. A whole refrigerator of milk.
And you wouldn't open the fridge and just take the milk that was in there?
No, sometimes we ran out of milk, so I just got in the habit of just eating the cereal out of the box. I wouldn't eat it with like a spoon out of a bowl, like dry. I would just eat dry cereal.
So you would just take handfuls out of the box?
Yeah, it'd be like trail mix.
But that's not very sanitary.
Hainsey doesn't eat any milk ever on his cereal. Just plain cereal in a bowl.
Look at that.
Does he use a bowl?
Yeah, bowl with a spoon, though, too. Just plain, no milk cereal. No.
Me and a Stanley Cup champion got that in common.
You can't trust people like that.
How dare you speak that way of Hainsey?
Well, you wouldn't have
a problem. He's not wrong. He's not far off. Hainsey's the best.
Is he still playing?
No, he is not. He's retired.
It's officially retired.
Officially retired down in Florida and working for the PA.
Oh, good for him.
He's a big Yankees fan.
Quite the career, huh?
Unbelievable. If you would have told him that back when we played together when we were kids at the U.S. program in high school, that he would end up having, of everybody in that first couple years of the program, that he'd have the longest run in the NHL, he'd know. No one would have believed it.
Well, good for him.
Over 1,000 games, Stanley Cup. I mean,
yeah, good for him. So you want to hear my moment of clarity last night after the Knicks game? Maybe during the Knicks game.
Is this the declaration?
This is the declaration. Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
Now I don't want you to think I'm still not a Knicks fan.
Then you'd be Max.
No, yeah, and he is the fact that he like loves that he gave up on his team is just it's so uncomfortable. No,
but he's given up on multiple teams though. It's not that it's he's given up on the Lakers too. Now he's a Nets fan.
Right. So he go because why is he a Nets fan? Because they're in Brooklyn. Remember that now they're in New York.
Yeah, they're in New York.
So that's his entree there. I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I want to say I'm done.
So you're off. So
now, not that I'm not going to watch, not that I'm not going to root for, but the pain that it causes you when your team loses, I'm not going through that anymore. You're losing at home to Charlotte without their best player. You're losing at home to New Orleans, who's a bad team, and getting hammered in that game. I'm done. Until further notice, I'm done.
But it's not just the loss, though. It's not just the losses. Like, I can accept losses. It's how it looks. It's how Julius Randle is acting. I mean, all of it. It's, you know, trying to see the forest through the trees and say, like, how does this get better? And I guess when Derrick Rose...
That's the thing. I don't think it does. And that's why I'm not investing my emotional energy anymore. Listen, I watch the Giants every single play, every single game, every single everything. But at the end, it didn't pain me as much
because... This is the Giants' fault. It is.
Maybe.
I mean, because you have nothing. Listen, you can only endure so much pain, right? So, I mean, having to deal with the Giants for, you know, the last 5 years with how bad they've been.
It's been terrible.
I mean, you don't have much left in the tank to give to the Knicks.
No. And then the Mets last year.
How about the Mets, too? Ugh.
Yeah, they underperformed.
Underperformed? They spent how much time in first place in the division and then didn't make the playoffs?
Collapsed.
Oh.
I think it was the most in Major League Baseball history, right?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
and of all teams,
500. So that's where I am. I'm done.
I don't love the declaration because I'm not. I'm still.
Really? So when they lose Monday in Cleveland, you're gonna like Tuesday morning. I'm gonna have to hear you like, oh, I can't believe they lost this game and all disappointed.
No, I'll be disappointed because I'm. Listen, it's not like we can't. Just say, you know what, I'm done, so I'm not going to watch the Knicks.
I never said I wouldn't watch.
No, I know, but we're different in that way then. I'm staying emotionally involved. Otherwise, why am I watching it? I won't be surprised if they lose. I'll still be aggravated.
Okay, Knicks lose Sunday afternoon before the championship games at home to the Clippers. It pains you, or you're able to just endure it and move on?
No, I'll move on.
Okay.
I'll move on.
All right, so maybe you're partially done also.
Yeah, but I'm not done, but just I can't say that definitively. Depending on what happens during the course of the game or how it looks. Like, I mean, if say, for example, you're only down 4 points and you play an awful first half and then you come out in the third quarter, the other team goes on a 7-1 run and they blow you out 35-15 in the third quarter, and it's on a Sunday that I have to watch it on a Sunday when there's football going on, I'll be pretty pissed off. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? This to me is a Phil Jackson moment. It's kind of just it's a moment of reflection. It's a calming, and I'm putting everything in perspective. I'm done.
But do they realize the amount of commitment we're showing to this team, watching them on a Sunday, especially with what's going on right now in the NFL?
I don't think they care. Well, I gotta be honest with you. If the Knicks are down 16 at 3 o'clock, with what would they'd be well probably just starting the fourth quarter or whatever, I'll be done. I'll turn it off. You can recap what happened in the fourth quarter on Monday morning, because I am all in now on the football.
I don't know if that's fair to me. I had to suffer through every single one of these stupid Giants games for you.
I tried to give you an out.
No, I didn't want an out. That's not what friends do.
I'm going to ask Don Santilla when we return if it's okay, if I'm done. And if I need a favor, I'll ask him that as well.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Sadly, if you're just getting going this morning and you're hearing that, you're like, oh, I love Meatloaf. Well, he's passed away at the age of 74. We're 63, according to Santiago. But everybody, who doesn't love this song? Look at the mood it's putting you in right now. You're moving, you're shaking.
This is the song, RJ. This is the song Julius Randle sings to the PR guy when they ask him to go talk to the media after the game.
He just says, I won't do that?
I just won't do that.
No.
Someone needs to sit him down.
Who is that guy? It can't be a player.
His wife. Somebody. Somebody needs to sit him down and say, "Just all you're doing is hurting yourself. You're hurting the team. You're just wasting energy."
It feels like he's not willing to listen, though, doesn't it?
That's how it appears, yeah. That's how it appears.
So how does it get fixed? Here's my question to you. Does this get worse?
Well, see, that's the problem with this team, though. I mean, who's going to be the one that pulls him aside? Who's going to be the one that on that team that holds him accountable for how he's acting outside of the coach?
It's got to be the coach.
Well, you see how the coach feels about him. I mean, how long do you have to keep them in? I mean, you're down 25. Like, we're going to wait till you're down 25 to finally get them out of the game?
They get the to be such an average bunch of players now. Now, they get the longest leash I've ever seen in my life.
It's amazing, man. I'm like, really? Like, wait till they're down to, now you're down 25. Now you feel good about putting in the bench.
And you know what? They actually made it to the point where you were intrigued in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Well, actually, because they played some defense, right?
Well, they played defense. There was energy. Effort. The crowd got into the game. You couldn't have done that at 15?
I know. I'm telling you, man. You know how much I love Tibbs. And last night was one of the first nights where I started to get really frustrated. Because I'm already frustrated going into the game and watching what I'm watching. And then it's like, all right, take them out. I get it. As a coach, I appreciate that, you know, you're going to give, you know, you give your guys the opportunity to fight out of it. Like, I respect that, but to a certain point, they have to reciprocate what you're giving them.
You should be done. At least be showing your effort. Be done with me. Be done.
They got Obi Toppin standing in the corner. What good is he in the corner? He can't shoot from three.
No, he's a terrible shooter. Be done.
Like, why can't we run the offense? I mean, Derrick Rose isn't on the floor. Like, let's run some plays for Obi. And the other thing that Fournier said last week too, it's like, well, we really don't come in with the plan. It's kind of like we just, you know, feel our way through it and see who's got it going. Well, that's because that's good. That's what you want.
Yeah, but he does it with such a nice French accent.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's an indictment on your coach.
Oh, yeah, it all is. Well, this is what you heard, right? That Thibodeau, great to start, and then it kind of wears thin quickly?
Well, it's because the amount of effort that he asks.
Well, but you know what's amazing? Basis. He demands and asks for effort, and they don't give any.
No, I know, but at a certain point, man, it's like, what do you do? Like, what do you do? I mean, we say it all the time. I mean, is Julius Randle the best player on, forget a championship team, is Julius Randle the best player on a legitimate playoff team?
No, absolutely
not. Oh, okay. And he's by far he's your best player. And he looks the way he looks. Like, well, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Your most consistent offensive player's hurt. So maybe it changes a little bit when Derrick Rose comes back and your bench is back intact, which has been, I mean, has been one of your strengths. But right now, man, I mean, you can see Kemba can't do it. Like, he had 9 games off, and then he comes back because his knee's back to feeling good, and he can go out and play the way he played, you know, 10 points in the fourth quarter and everything else, have a good game. But it's only a matter of time before that thing swells up and he can't move.
Of course, and then it'd be 4 or 5 he can't play, or they don't want him to play, and then he plays well. And we're in a vicious cycle.
Didn't I tell you that the other day, though, when we were talking about the knee? Because my knee, I got the cartilage problems in my knee, too. And I told you, it's sometimes in warm-up. You'll go down funny. And he said that. He said in warm-up, he took a weird step, and that was it. Just think about that. One weird step in a warm-up, and his knee's so bad that he can't play.
We know that. I can't. Let's get to some of the calls.
And that was your move. And that was your move this offseason.
Him and Fournier. Those are your moves.
That was your move. A guy
look,
who
look
like
at the, look at what the Bulls did and look at what the Knicks did.
Could you imagine the difference right now if DeMar DeRozan was a Knick?
You'd feel very differently. Very differently. All right, people are all lined up. They want to get involved. We want to talk Knicks. We're here for you. Rick's still emotionally invested. I'm done. Let's go. Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, it's always nice to lead off. Good morning, guys. I'm with Rick. I'm still emotionally invested with this team. All my emotion and all my love for the Giants poured into the Knicks because the Giants were done by the time the Knicks started their season. And it's the only team right now. I don't know what's going to happen with baseball, so I'm not even going to think about the baseball. This is my only team and the only thing I have right now. But there's not. Can you imagine? Is there a single player that you can name on the Knicks right now? And I have another point. But is there a single player on the Knicks right now that you could say has played well this year?
I think R.J. Barrett has played well-ish this year.
Has consistently played well? No.
Well-ish.
No, R.J. Barrett's been. Listen, R.J. Barrett seems like he's starting to turn the corner, but from start to finish, no,
no.
I mean, Derrick Rose was your most consistent player before he got hurt.
Yeah, we say start to turn the corner, but out of nowhere, there could be a 9-game stretch where he averages 8 points. You know what I mean? That could still happen at any moment right now. I'm not sold on him turning the corner because he turns the corner every other five games, but. I'm torn right now. I want the Knicks to make trades because I'm tired of talking to my friends and other Knicks fans where they're like, oh, we got to keep RJ. We got to keep Quickly. We got to keep Obi. These guys are going to develop. I mentioned it on the OK show. By year three, if you haven't shown that you're a borderline all-star or already an all-star, it's probably not going to happen. And maybe you could develop into, by year 7 and 8, you're Chris Middleton or Julius Randle, where you can get one or two All-Star games. But that's a rarity.
Yeah, but Cullum, here's the thing, though, Cullum. Are they going to give Obi the opportunity to show that he can develop? Because right now it doesn't feel like it. Because there's Julius Randle. And, I mean, so... Here's my other question to you, Dave. The presence of Julius Randle, now he was great, and I don't even know if his deal is movable. I mean, with the contract extension he just signed, he's blocking Obi from getting more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then because he has the personality that he has, and it feels like a lot of the times, though, you know, the players are deferring to Julius Randle. Like he seems like, to me, on the outside looking in, he feels like one of those guys that his mood will dictate the team's mood. And, you know, as a teammate, you kind of like will try to go out of your way to make sure he's in a good place.
Because
if he's not, it ruins the locker room.
All right. So what's the question?
Is his presence going to allow RJ Barrett to take the step that we need him to take?
Probably not.
Where he takes control of this team?
Probably not. Where this becomes an RJ Barrett led team? I would say that's unlikely. But
because he's got the higher upside. RJ Barrett should have the higher upside.
100% he does. We know what Julius Randle is. We know the best of what you'll possibly ever get from him is last year, and I don't know if he ever duplicates that. R.J. Barrett gives you games where you're like, wow, this guy really has a chance to be good. But what can you do? Like, you can't move Julius Randle. You're locked in with him. So what, are you going to not play him? You're going to give Obi Toppin minutes over Julius Randle? I mean, are we there yet?
No, I don't think, no. I mean, fans may be there. Tibbs isn't.
So what option? I mean, it's a good question. Is that he's going to stunt the growth of RJ Barrett? But what option do I have?
It's all on it. You don't. I mean, Leon Rose probably doesn't. I don't know where you're moving that deal to. I don't. Unless you're going to, you'll take a bad deal back.
But this is what we're eliminating.
So it's on Julius Randle. It would be on Julius Randle to allow that to happen.
Yeah. It really, what he's done, and he's got to turn this thing around. You're right. Someone's got to talk to him. This can't continue.
No, Clyde, not down this
maybe
road.
Clyde can talk to him.
No, Dave, not down this road, because it's just getting worse.
I mean, this is not going to continue like this. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a positive.
No,
way this is going.
No, we are heading down a very bad road. Troy in Irvington. Good morning, Troy. You're next up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you guys hear me?
We hear you wonderfully, Troy.
Sound terrific.
The problem, I'm a Knicks fan. Yesterday, I turned it off by halftime. I mean, by the third quarter, I turned it off because I knew it was coming. Tibbs is the problem. I know we like him. You know, we thought he did a great job, but Tibbs is the problem. It's because Tibbs and Randle look like they're together. You know, it's like the other day when the crowd was wanting Obi Toppin to come in when we lost both our centers. He puts in the other guy who didn't even have no points in the game and end up costing us more because he ended up missing that shot. Not to say that I'm going to blame him for that shot, but it's like, Tibbs don't know how to handle the young guys. We got a young team. And he's got us to this point. It's time for him to go. And I know we keep dodging around.
They're not moving on from him. They're not moving on from him. I mean, you say that. It sounds great. It's a good call to sports talk radio. Where are you going to go?
Did you see what this team looked like when Julius Randle didn't play? Did you see what this team looked like?
They're dreadful.
They're awful. They're not even competitive.
And what coach are you looking for? You want to bring back Isaiah Thomas? You want to bring back Phil Jackson?
This is your coach.
Who are you looking for?
This is your coach. If you're going to blame anyone, blame Leon Rose for the moves that he made. He's the one that signed Randle the extension. He's the one that brought in Kemba. He's the one that brought in Fournier.
Fournier, to me, is the...
Yeah, but you know what? See, this is the thing, though, that as the athlete, I can understand why Julius Randle would be aggravated. It's the same thing, like, and I would get aggravated, too. Like, there'd be a stretch where, you know, as the starting goalie, you're playing every single night, and you're not going to play, you know, 60 games. You're not going to play great every game. There'll be a game where you don't have a good game. And, you know, you start getting booed. You get the, you know, they dump the puck in from the far blue line, and you stop it, and you get the mock cheer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, really? Like, they're chanting for the backup? And you're like, I just played, you know, 12 straight awesome games. I have one bad game, and you're already booing me. I get it. It frustrates you, and you get aggravated. But, I mean, but pouting about it or acting out against the fans, that's not how you're going to get it fixed.
And you'll never win.
No, you'll never win.
I can promise you right now, as long as the day is, you will never win a face-off against New York fans. Ever, ever, ever.
No, you know what? You get to the point where, you know, you almost feel like, okay, yeah, you want the backup? Wait, what? I'll give you the backup. Watch the backup. And then you tell me after watching the backup that you don't want me back.
Yeah, but this is an immature way to be handling yourself.
I know, but I'm telling you, that's the way he's acting.
It really is.
He's got to listen to them chanting for OB. You think he doesn't know why they're chanting? I mean, OB plays his position. You think Julius Randle thinks OB Toppin's at his level?
No, he's not at his level. Anybody that thinks that Toppin is Julius Randle is just ignorant. But the guy has given you no reason to be optimistic about him. What was he last night? 1 of 9?
1 of 9.
For 4 points?
4 points. Took 2 shots in the third. In the midst of them getting their doors blown off, he took two shots out of the building.
Of their own building. By a bad team. 1 of 9.
1 of 9.
Terrence in Brooklyn. Good morning, Terrence.
Yes, good morning, guys. I really don't know what I could add to all the other callers and everything, but every time that you want to be behind the Knicks and have some kind of belief in them, they always pull you back 2 steps. They have been very inconsistent this year. Even your partner said earlier, they are mentally soft. Okay, the defense has been atrocious, And I really don't know if there's any way we could fix it. Not this year anyway. I don't see any way we could fix it.
I think you're sadly, I think he's right, Rick, and thanks for the call. I don't know, and that's why I kind of feel like, you know what, let this season play out. I'll get ready for baseball. I'm going to watch the NFL postseason. March Madness comes around soon. Like, I can't continue to emotionally invest and be disappointed all the time. And that's what this team has now become.
Yeah, but again, I mean, I think you make the best point is you can sit there and say that you're not invested, but there's a piece of you that wants to see this thing turned around.
Of course I do.
The only problem is what's the answer? How do you turn it around?
How does this turn around?
But Dave, you lack the most important position in the sport. You lack it. You don't have it.
Well, you've lacked it forever.
You addressed it with Kemba Walker, who's not healthy enough to consistently be that guy. You got two point guards that health-wise can't give you what you need.
Yeah, but how broken is that?
It's
the
broken.
Two guys you acquired to fix the position, which is so broken, is a broken down Derrick Rose and a more broken down Kemba Walker?
Yeah, and I get it. Like, you already know, like the fans, and I'm the same way. I feel like I already know who Kemba is, right? I already know who, like, the veteran guys, you know who they are, and it hasn't worked. So, hey, yeah, let's see the young guys. But I'm telling you right now, you had a chance to see what this team looks like without Julius Randle, with the young guys, and they're not competitive. So as a fan, you got to decide what you want. If you're saying, okay, I want to see Obi more, I want to see Deuce more and Quentin Grimes more and IQ, like all the young guys, I want to see them more, I want to see them develop. But then you're signing up for a season where you're not going to make the play. It's gonna, not even the play-in. It's going to be no playoffs.
But I mean, they're not going to make the play-in anyway, the way they're playing. Like, for remember, you guaranteed they'd be a top 16 the other day, and Jay Williams got so upset with you. You remember that, right?
Yeah, okay, I'll play along, yeah.
No, but being sincere, like, that's done. Like, they're
that's done.
Top no. No way is that happening.
Like this, no. Well, I don't know how it gets better. I don't. Unless all of a sudden you get the Deuce McBride that you get in the G League, where he just absolutely dominates.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
It's 16 assists.
I know. The Zach Brown Band. One of your favorites. Headed to Citi Field, one of your favorite places, August 18th, which I'm told is your favorite month, in fact. Be listening in the 6 o'clock hour today for your chance to win, all from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock at Ticketmaster.com. And by the way,
Do you have big plans going to a lot of Mets games this season, whenever it starts?
Now, here's the thing. I always say yes, and then I underwhelm, but I would like to, and I think this is a good number for me, I'd like to go to one game a month.
Well, with this new schedule, I mean, with our hours now.
I mean, I can't go to a weeknight game.
No, I'm saying that it opens us, I mean, some weekday matinees. Oof. Perfect.
That would be nice. I would say we could do it as a show, but I know the way the lack of commitment with these guys.
Well, I know I'll go. Milo loves going to baseball games.
Yeah.
Loves it. Oh, my God. Hot dogs, pretzels, cotton candy.
How good is that? The noon game?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For us? For you? I mean, just think about that. Show's done at 8. You get done.
I get a nap till 11.
Oh, yeah, you watch a show, take a nap, boom. Game at noon, beers, hot dogs. We're back home by what? 4:35? I'm just thinking traffic.
Yeah, maybe 4:30. Not 6. Nice. I can't give it till 6.
That would be nice.
RJ, is this something you would partake in?
Yeah, we could swing on over. I don't see why not.
Have you ever heard anybody sound more like there's no way I'm doing something than that?
I would do it.
We can swing on over.
Yeah,
there's no enthusiasm at all.
There was nothing there.
Nothing.
Listen.
At least be honest with us.
Just don't say,
listen, guys, you go. I'm not going.
I would go. There'd be, you know, different rooting interests. It might be a little awkward, but I would hang out with you guys. Yeah,
so
sure.
Mets, Marlins. You'd be pro Marlins in that situation?
There's a good chance, yeah.
So Mets, Braves?
I mean, well, spin it around. Yankees, Red
but
Sox.
That's different.
Why is it different?
First of all, I don't think Rick would be polarized by the Yankees. I think he'd be fine. He doesn't care. I hate the Yankees.
I know you do.
You don't hate the Mets?
No. Dislike, but not hate, no. I would go with you to see you guys.
You and Milo could share a seat. It'd be great.
See,
you could sit on his lap. It'd be adorable.
This version of RJ could share the seat. The 5'10", 170, there's no chance.
Well, no, that's he didn't have his own seat.
There's
listen,
no
we know happening. That we know neither of you are leaving your palatial estates with your moats and your alligators and your gates. Listen, me and Santee will see you there. You name the date. We'll be there.
See, I don't think they'll go.
I don't think you'll go.
Why would I not go?
I don't know. Too much airspace being occupied for your private jet that won't bring you over.
Yeah, what happened yesterday, too, by the way? What happened yesterday? I called you to check in. How you feeling? Nothing. No return text message, no return
phone
call.
When the show ends, Dave's done with
that's
us.
That's not true.
Yep. Then all of a sudden, he's lighting up the group text.
8 a.m. Eastern, done.
Eastern, for all the people in Brazil listening. You're like, oh, Eastern, okay.
This is a worldwide show. How dare you?
Listen, I will say this. I'm very engaged in the group texting. You did call me, and I did not return the call. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. That's on me. But I figured if it was all that important, you would have either left a message, which is what I was hoping for when I saw you call, or maybe a text saying, listen, give me a call. I got to talk to you about something.
No, I refuse to leave a message because all you do is because you know I'll screw it up. And then you'll bring it you'll actually get on the chat early and you'll send them my voicemail and it'll end up on the air is what would happen.
But that would be great radio.
To mock me.
Isn't that why we're here?
I can't pull the trigger.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Ricky Pietro calling.
I got message ED is what I have. That's what I have.
I understand. There's a powder for that.
I need a pill. Is there a pill or a cream?
Yeah. You rub it right on. Go away.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.